payaso, no ponemos la pared.
No somos muchos, no somos pocos, pero estamos todos locos.
Hey, what's going on, friends? And welcome back to the second episode of Pocos Pero Locos. Again, I have my really good friend Juan and co-founder of Los Roots. Juan, how are you?
Good, good. What's up, y'all? What's up?
All right, man. Plenty to talk about. We haven't had a podcast in a while. We've been pretty busy.
Yeah.
I wish we can say that we can have an episode every episode. And shout out to actually John, because they're really good at that.
Oh, yeah.
They
try to put one out every week.
Yeah. And not only that, it's his articles and just a lot of stuff. I'm beat on after Saturdays. I'm done. I'm tired. Sundays is my chill day, rest day. I don't do or touch anything. And I have no idea how he's up early already posting stuff and doing their podcasts and stuff. So as much as we wish we can do it, you know, we got to find these right times. And this was the right time to record. We've got a Roots game coming up today. And this is versus
El Paso.
El Paso.
El Paso.
Locomotives. I always liked their name, Los Locos.
Hey, I like that.
I like that. So they're playing today. It's an away game. There's people at Mad Oak. There's some people at Line 51, but we are separate. Today we're trying to record a podcast, and we're also watching some UFC fights. And again, we're going to be able to watch the Roots game. So we do not know the answer to what the score is, but we are hoping it is a better result than what we've had in previous games. Right?
Yeah, man. We're on a 3-game losing streak, looking ugly.
I know. And right before we started recording, we were looking at some stats and stuff. And like you said, it's ugly looking at that color chart, because you've got the lost games in red.
Yeah.
And your wins in green.
And ties in gray.
In gray. And you pull it up, and the first thing you see, it's all red.
All red, going all the way back to August. Well, except for our home opener. But I know. That shit is ugly. It's a whole lot of red, couple of grays, man, and one green.
And this goes back to a conversation we had a while ago, which is what does this mean for Coach Noah, right? Because there were a couple of possibilities coming into the season, which is, do you fix your record? You know, can we start with a clean slate, which is what most people would want and would probably consider. It's just like, okay, new season, new slate. But if you also start losing and you kind of look at like the list that you're looking at, which goes back to the last season, I mean, it's hard not to put it together and be like, wow, under Coach Noah, it's looking like a lot of reds in the recent times, right?
Yeah, I would have to see when he took over, but yeah, man, it hasn't been pretty.
So we've had, did we have him for a full season last year?
No, last year he was there half of the year.
Really?
Wait.
No, last
no,
year was...
No, last year he was there the whole season, right?
Yeah. Because...
Yeah, because Phoenix won the championship last
that's
year
right.
with... what's his face?
That's right. And I don't think we also had... what's his name? Juan Guerra?
Juan Guerra, yeah.
He never played in Cal State. We left him at Laney.
In Laney, that's right.
You know? That's
so,
where.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where the shadiness happened. And so
this is Noah's second season, or second.
This will be his second full season.
Yeah, but he had half of
the other one. So then, here's the question, and I don't know if you're going to answer it or not, but how much longer would you give him?
I mean,
the rest of the season. Would you risk the entire rest of the season to see how he does? It's a tough one, huh?
It's a tough one.
Do you like what he's?
I just hate bringing in coaches halfway through or towards the end, you know?
I hear you.
But now thinking about it like this, I would understand if they decided to switch it up and bring somebody else in.
So you would understand, which normally you're against.
Yeah.
But now you found some understanding.
Well, I hadn't looked at all these red dots, bro, all these L's. And then
right,
thinking that, yeah, I mean, what is it, though? Is the team not responding to him, or what can it be?
I mean, that's the sad part about being, like, the captain of the boat, You know, it doesn't matter why the ship sinks.
Yeah.
You, it's your responsibility no matter what, you know? So, and, you know, from other sports, even like Raiders and stuff like that, there was coaches that I really liked, but because the team did poorly, it was time to get rid of the coach, right? Because ultimately it's up to the coach to make those players work and bring in, you know, results. And so if that's not happening, although it can clearly be straight players' fault, you also had an off season where you can get players, move pieces around and make deals and stuff. So, you know, it's you can't pinpoint it because it's just not like that.
Because, okay, so last year was his first full season. But remember last year, at one point, we were riding high. We were in third place. I'm looking at the stats right here. We had, what was that, like a six-game streak where we didn't lose. We had four wins and two ties. So okay, something was working. We were in third place, and then something happened where it was just straight losses.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
So what happened?
So let me ask you this. Do you think that something happened? Instead of saying what happened with the wrong parts, I feel like we've had more bad times than good times with Coach Noah. Yeah. So for me, I'm trying to figure out what happened in those good times that worked. Was it, did we get lucky? What was going on? Because now, at least for me, his record is starting to prove that he's not a winning coach. At least for us, he hasn't been. I mean, I love him as a person and nothing against him. I love that he's from the Bay Area. But I'm also, you know, a little concerned for the team.
Yeah, so his record since he's been with the Roots, it's been 19-11-22.
Ooh.
So 19 wins, 22 losses.
I mean, it shouldn't be split like that, right? Like, I mean, although, wait, so there's more losses to him.
Yeah, but just, not by a lot. 19-22. It's just a lot of ties, though. Also 11. Well, not really.
Yeah, it's a tough one, man. But we won't get too stuck in this conversation. But for the moment, I mean, if you were able to make a decision, how many more games would you give him before you would start looking somewhere else?
Well, to me, we're going to turn the ship around today.
That's right. I like that attitude.
Yeah, we're getting a dub today.
Yeah, let's not even talk about it.
Yeah, because
we're going to win.
Yeah, yeah. The captain's going to turn that shit around. We're going to beat El Paso today.
I like
we're
the gonna optimism.
We're going to beat Parolito on Tuesday. And then whoever the fuck we play next.
That's right, Juan. That's right. That's right. Champions right here. You're looking at them. But let's be real now. Okay, let's say if today we lose again. To a team that you pointed out is second to last, the Locomotive.
El Paso second to last,
which is also rare to see because at least from my experience, I've only seen them at the top of the board most of the time. I mean, they've always been like
good,
like a playoff
in the middle,
team.
Yeah.
Okay, so if they lose again today, then what's your idea on what's going on?
I'll tell you what. If we were to lose today and then lose against El Farolito on Tuesday, which I don't even like saying that shit.
But let's,
right there, it would probably have to be like, hey, what are we going to do? What else
okay,
we got
so up? Okay, so then you're giving him this week. And you're, hey, it's true. Hey, don't be scared to say it. I would too. Honestly, I've already heard I've heard people, you know, at the tailgate talk about this subject and a lot of people are calling for his head right now. You know, I think it's still a tad bit early. It's sad that we're not winning. And it's also sad to even add this losing streak with his, you know, with last season.
Year, yeah.
Because it truly does add up, right? And, you know, coming from, look at Phoenix. Everybody knows this. They won with the Roots team.
Basically,
literally,
yeah.
Right? So what does that tell you? It's maybe the coach that, well, I guess Juan Guerra took a lot of players
he
with
did,
him. So
yeah.
It's not like Coach Noah got it to coach that team for too long. But to me, that shows something, is that we had something, we could have done something, and now it's kind of crumbled. I don't think he's able to put the pieces together. I've heard other reasons on why he might not be the best coach for us right now. And to me, they're all legit, right? I won't say a whole lot, yeah. but I know there is some finger pointing going around. And to me, it makes sense. So I think I'm with you, Juan, where I would say, after this week, especially these two games, right? I know Farolito is not going to be the easiest to beat because they're pretty
hot. They've been showing up. So
it's not like we can just go and run them over. You know what I mean? It's going to be a battle. And for the most part, we don't use our starters, at least not all of them.
Well, I don't want to say luckily.
I know where you're going with this. It's not luckily, but luckily.
There was a fight at the last game against Las Vegas, and we had two players suspended, Hackshaw and...
No, not Las Vegas. It was Monterey.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Against Monterey, two of our players got suspended, one of which being Hackshaw. So he's suspended for 3 games, but he still gets to play in the U.S. Open Cup. He's only suspended in the USL. So at least we know Hackshaw should be playing.
Hackshaw and the other guy, right? Two players
Najee?
Got... Yeah,
Ours got three-day suspension, 3-game suspensions, and dude in Monterey, I think his name is Walter, he got a 4-game suspension.
Do you think it's because he started the fight?
It might be because he started the fight or the kick. He threw a kick at Hackshaw when Hackshaw was on the ground.
I saw that.
You know, that's like you were really trying to hurt somebody, trying to kick him when
they're
on
the ground.
And
that was towards
the face, too. Yeah.
Luckily, he missed.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying when you're saying luckily, because you're right. One of my biggest complaints, which I understand, is that we don't put too much effort into this cup, at least not in the beginning stages.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We've never really made it past the third round. So.
Right. I've noticed, at least in the past, that every step we move forward in this cup, then they start to bring in more starters, which is fine. I totally get that. I just wish there was a bit more effort in trying to win this cup because you can possibly play really, really good MLS teams.
Put all the starters in. Let's see how far we could go.
How far did we get to last year? Did Monterey kick us out? No.
No. Monterey lost to LAFC.
Okay. And then do you remember who kicked us out of?
Man, I don't remember.
Did we play an MLS team? No, right? I think we were scheduled to play like, remember when they were doing like this, what was it? The raffle kind of thing. And then we were close to playing San Jose. We were on that same, Juan's looking around right now.
Yeah, I'm looking up the games.
I remember there was like a raffle type thing.
We lost to Sacramento, bro.
I was going to say, because I remember it was the Roots, San Jose, Earthquakes were in our little raffle thing, and then Sacramento. And then I think that Earthquakes ended up playing Monterey or something like that. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, well, then why was...
Monterey beat San Jose. That's right. I'm looking at it right now.
I remember that San Jose traveled to Monterey.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Remember? I remember that. Yeah.
They took their whole banners. It was the Ultras,
The
I
Ultras
think.
Were on one side and the...
Epicentro?
Epicentro was on the other side.
Really? They split over there too?
Yeah. Wow. Ultras were in N1 where we've sat before.
Yeah.
And Epicentro was on the other side.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, actually, I remember because they had their banner and they popped smoke.
They popped smoke.
Shit.
They had drums.
Yeah, they had
which
drums.
They didn't allow. But yeah. I feel like it because it's not a regular season game. They allow more of that to happen. I mean, look at for us
well,
too.
Well, allow or not, like they don't allow it, but they,
no. Well, I'm saying the drums.
Oh, the drums. Yeah.
Yeah. Because
they
I remember they
bring drums
exactly.
In. Yeah.
They actually don't allow one drum.
Yeah.
Which is kind of messed up.
Yeah.
And to the Root staff, if you're listening, you know, we got to be just as strict as some of them because it's not fair that we can't take drums or flags to their venues, but they're allowed to do that here. And I understand the whole lead by example thing, but I don't think they're even paying attention to any of that. So we should make it as hard as they make it for us, you know?
Because at least at SAC, they let us take 2 drums and flags.
And we've been able to talk to SAC, and I think they allowed more flags one time, remember?
Yeah.
And I think maybe more drums, too. I think there was 1 drum allowed in the beginning, and now they allow 2,
two.
Which is like a tom and a snare or something like that.
But yeah, going back to the U.S. Open Cup, yeah, last year, third round, which is the round we're in right now, we lost to Sacramento, 1-0 in Sacramento. I remember that game.
Yeah, yeah. I think I missed out on that game.
Yeah, I think you did.
That's when there was like a fight gonna happen with like some Raider fans or something. They were kicking a fence or something. I don't know, some weird stuff going on. But so, you know, going back to the whole Coach Noah thing is that, you know, I hate for so much to be happening with the organization, which like so many positive things are happening. Like we're going into the Coliseum next year. You know, we have hopes that we can get our stadium built and stuff. And then we can't match it with a good season, you know, at least like a season where we have some hopes. I know it's just the beginning of the season, but it already feels like crap. Like, you know, I'm sure. And here's the thing, like, I am optimistic. But at the same time, I'm also a little on the realistic side, which is like, how much longer can I be optimistic? Like, look at the Raiders.
Yeah.
But we were optimistic for 20 years. How long are we going to allow that here?
I always talk about that when people bring up like, oh, you guys lost, huh? Damn. Like, I'm like, yeah, we lost.
Try being a Raider fan.
But yeah, I'd be like, well, I was a Raider fan for so long. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing that losses don't hurt me. Like,
nah, it's more about the party and the tailgate now, you know, and getting together with the homies.
Like, we win. Hell yeah. You know, yeah. I love it. Beautiful. But we lose. It's just like, damn, we lost. Know, man. All right. We'll be back next week.
And what sucks about being from Oakland, it's like the passion is very real,
yeah,
but the results are never that. I think the only ones who were ever allowed or whoever gave us kind of that satisfaction was the Warriors, right? Them being champions. And but the thing is, like,
but
I mean,
they were bad for a long time too.
Sure.
People don't remember that.
Oh, of course. I remember when my schools used to give us free tickets and nobody wanted them.
Yeah, you know? all the times that I went, you know, before like Curry and them got there, I got free tickets. That's how I went to Warrior games.
That's true. And we were more there to go see Thunder.
Oh, yeah. I remember that
dunk
guy. Yeah, yeah.
At halftime. Yeah. It's like we can miss, you know, the whole game, but don't miss halftime. That's how it was for us, you know?
Dude, back in the day, before we had Curry or any of these guys, I had floor seats. I was like 5-6 rows from the floor and it was for free. So, yeah, that's
yeah, dude. We used to get them like that too, and they used to give us by the bunch.
Yeah,
I remember like sometimes it like our whole classroom was invited, and it was like 30 kids, you know, and we with plus your parents, you know what I mean, and we were all there. So, but what I'm trying to get to is like that feeling of being part of a winning team. The A's gave it to us during the Moneyball era.
Yeah.
And maybe a little bit after that, but not a whole lot. Maybe nothing consistent. But it's just this feeling of belonging to a winning team. And I totally get that teams go up and down. Look at the Patriots, right? Like, these guys were unbeatable for how many years?
For a long time.
And look at them now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's their time. This is where you find out who are the real fans, the true fans, who sticks around and who doesn't. And actually, we were talking about that yesterday, I think, when we were making plans, when we were like, you know, now that the Roots aren't doing well, you realize who's interested in still watching them, you know,
still
and being
coming
there.
Out to events. But right. See, here's my thing, like, that we're only like 5 games into the season, you know?
I know.
It's 34 games, I believe, in the USL season. So there's still a lot of games to play.
But then why does it feel like this? Why does it
3 in a row fucking suck?
That's right. And out of 5 games, we've won 1.
Yeah.
And when we looked at that stat too, it was like, damn, really? After 5 games, we've gotten 1 game.
Yeah.
1, you know? And I get it. We can always turn this around. I really do understand that part of things. But there's also has to be some part, you know, in the ownership or whoever's responsibility and jobs it is for the team to succeed as well. I'm sure there has to be conversations going on as we speak already. Like, you know, maybe not his future's at stake, but the beginnings of those conversations could already be started.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, I'm sure they've also thought about, like, how many more games are we going to give this squad, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, the thing for me, just looking at it from this year and hearing people, you know, in the tailgating shit talking about, like, you know, we need a new coach or some, you know, they should see if there's something else out there. I'm like, we're only five games in. But then when you pointed out last season,
yeah,
and when we saw all those red dots, I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we've been losing for a minute.
I mean, I'm also not a fan of switching things up mid-season. But, hey, look at the Raiders, right? They got, what's his name? Antonio
Pierce.
I wasn't a fan of that part, right? Like, of course, McDaniels, I didn't want him in there.
Yeah, no.
But
fucking Patriot.
But there was a quick switch, right?
And
the team reacted to it. So I can only wonder if a different coach could, you know, flip that switch and get that reaction out of our players. I know we're not stacked with our players, but we have a decent team.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like we have a decent team to where, at least in my eyes, I know we've only won one and lost. Do you know the record?
We've lost one win, one tie, three losses.
Yeah, dude. That's, you know, my thing with that, it's they haven't been like battles. Like these games that we've lost to me haven't been like, oh, yeah, Roots had a chance.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the games we lost, we didn't even have a chance.
Well, like this last game, we had the possession of the ball against Monterey most of the time.
The first half.
Yeah, we even scored the first half, but they said it was offsides.
Okay.
And then I don't know what happened the second half. And then against fucking Las Vegas that we lost 3-0.
That's what I'm saying.
We had possession of the ball most of the time, like 58, 60% of the time, and it was 0-0 into the half. But, and then the second half, fucking pow, 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 right. Three goals. Fucking,
but,
like,
but that's
nothing.
What I mean. It's like we could have possession, but I also don't see any shots towards the goal.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
the thing.
And like having possession is definitely a key thing. But also it's like, how many shots are we taking? Do we have strikers that are creating that chaos up front where, yeah. I don't think so. And we have Johnny. Johnny's a great player, man. He's a great striker, but it's just not happening. We have Tamacas. Like, to me, we have... I do want to say this. I have noticed something different since Rito left. And it's been like that piece, when that piece of the puzzle left, it's like, to me, we've had no traction since.
Well, Rito was a threat because his speed would bring the ball up so fast. But the thing is, we don't have Rito, but we have Memo. Memo Centro's way? His centros be spot on every time. We just need somebody to get the ball in.
We don't have a threat. You basically
that's what Sherry's supposed to be. He's like 6'4", 6'5". Like,
come on, Sherry.
Just kick the ball high enough. And
bro. Listen, if I was a coach, I'd probably just be like, bro, you get the ball, you shoot. Just shoot.
Dude.
It's like out of 10 shots, one's got to go in.
That's what I've been saying since last year. Remember I kept saying, like, dude, why do they get the ball and they want to get closer and closer and closer? Just shoot it.
Just shoot
the ball.
You never know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like even if it doesn't go in and it hits the goalie and it bounces back, that's another, you're
another
creating
chance.
More.
Yeah, yeah, creating chances.
Right. But I also, at least this game that I saw, I don't know, man. I looked at some of the kicks towards goal and they were very weak. Kicks, like, we don't have somebody with a strong leg or something. I don't know, man. I got to study players more, you know, just to see what they've done in the past, but I just haven't seen anything clear to where it's like, wow, you know. Yeah. And I used to hate on Otar, you know, and I used to be like, nah, we don't need him. And geez, turns out he's probably the best we've had, you know.
I mean, Otar scored a lot of goals, but also, I think every time we had a penalty, they let him kick it. So
yeah, and they were a lot of his goals were from like dead balls, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I mean, that's skill to kick
sure.
it from.
My thing, it's like, I don't know, man. I love like a good striker that people are scared of.
You know,
somebody who you cannot leave open, because if you do leave him open, chances are he's going to score on you.
Yeah,
and I know it's not easy to come up with that in the USL. Because if we did have a player like that, he'd probably be in the MLS.
Yeah, or
you know?
Higher, yeah.
But it's like, come on, man. Like, there has to be some movement going on.
You know, another thing that I've noticed, and maybe not just that I noticed, I might have heard it on Roots Blog. Shout out Roots Blog. We haven't had the same starting lineup all year. He's been switching it up. Every game has been a different lineup. So how are these guys supposed to like get good chemistry if you're constantly changing the pieces? Then again, hey, I'm not no soccer brainiac or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But it's just things that I'm looking at over here
as
a casual fan or whatever.
We were talking about that earlier, too. It's how we don't know how to coach, of course.
Yeah.
And we don't know how strategies work and stuff. So I know we're going to sound like airheads over here, but we can only speak of what we see.
Yeah.
We do have friends, though, that have reached out to the coach and have told him how to do things. You know,
I'm like, really, bro? Like, you're that confident, huh? But I guess some people really know the game. You know?
I guess so, yeah. So let's end the whole conversation with Coach Noah by saying, Coach Noah, we wish you the best, man. I hope you can turn this around. I think you're a great coach. I would love to see a bit more on the field, more fight, a bit more aggression, maybe even holding players accountable for their participation in games. I don't know what that's like off the field, but I don't think I've ever seen Coach Noah yell at players. Not that I want him to yell at players, but I also do want him to yell at players, you know, and just to get them going, man. Sometimes players need that kind of coaching.
So you think that might be one of the things? He's too nice?
I mean, I don't know. I've never been a player, so I can't say, oh, yeah, a tough coach was a good coach.
Yeah.
But I have seen and I've heard, right, like from some of the best players that they talk about their coaches and they're like, dude, my coach used to be a dick to me, you know, and he was really hard on me and stuff, but he pulled the best out of me too. And so I wonder if that's what it needs to take to get the best out of players. You know, I don't want to say that because I don't think any player would ever take it easy on the field. But hey, if there is no repercussions, then sure, you know, you're not giving it your 110%. Maybe you're giving it your 95, you know.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe we need somebody in the middle because remember Juan, that guy, it seemed like every word out of his mouth was like a motivational speech. You know?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I saw their speech for the championship.
Yeah.
And yeah, dude, I was like, dude, throw some background music into this. So, you know, throw a filter up there.
Yeah.
And you've got yourself a movie. You know what I mean? He goes with the whole traditional like movie type speeches.
Yeah.
You know? Does it work? Sure, why not, right? Like it's your championship, you're in the zone, and then you get the speech and it just pumps you up. Hey man, whatever it takes to pump you up.
Yeah.
I would probably do it, you know what I mean? And so I don't know if Coach Noah is doing that with these guys. I respect him as a person. But anyways, I truly hope that he can turn this around. And that way we don't have to look elsewhere. But as a sports fan, you know, we've let some really cool coaches go in the past with different teams, you know, that I was personally attached to, like bringing it back to the Raiders to Chucky. Right. Yeah. I wish he would have been our coach for a long time. I like his style. I like how aggressive he is. But letting him go or because of what happened, right? It hurts.
Yeah. But I would say the first time back in 02, that season that they let him go, that hurt.
Yeah, that one hurt.
Because the second time around, I don't know. It just wasn't the same.
You know,
I mean, he had been away from coaching for a while and stuff, but
I sometimes in his case feel like it's the ownership that doesn't allow him to be himself.
And that has been said about the Raiders before. Especially when I want to say when Al Davis was alive,
right?
That he would like grab the phone and be like, do this and do that and don't put him in and put that guy in. And
yeah. So you can't even be the coach.
The coach can't even be the coach.
But then bringing it back to the roots, that's not even the case. At least from what I understand, that's not the case here. You're allowed to do whatever you want. So, you know, if we can bring in a coach with a bit more experience, with somebody who can like lead, that's what it takes, man. It's like these are great players, but they don't know what it takes to work amongst each other. And sometimes you need the coach to show that to them and be that leader, right? I've always said I'm not a good follower, but I am a good follower to the right leader, right? And so I feel that players can be a similar way, which is like, you know, you are your own person as a player. Hey, if you get traded, sold, you go on to the next team, it's you by yourself. But when it comes to working on a team, you need a great leader to lead you, you know. And again, I don't know Coach Noah like that, but maybe that's what the Roots need. So let's move forward from that, wishing him the best on today's game. And if not, we'll talk about it on the next podcast. We also want to talk about a few other things that have happened since our last episode. And sometimes that's why I like for these episodes to be a little bit separate, because there's
more to talk about.
More to talk about. Yeah. And there's, you know, interesting things that happen throughout the week. So a couple of things is that we finally had the raffle winners.
Last
time we announced it, we were trying to get money for our supporter group to head to Las Vegas. And we weren't too sure if this was going to work or not. Oh, yeah, I said Las Vegas. Huh? Yeah. specifically for Miami. Yeah. Vegas, I think we can all somehow make it work. But, yeah, Miami is the expensive one. But it was a success. We had two people win the jerseys. Shout out to the people who made it possible for us to get the autographed jerseys.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to the people who bought tickets.
Yeah.
Some bought it with the real intent to win, and some just bought to support.
Wanted to contribute. You know, that was really cool.
Which is funny, because one of the winners of the jerseys, that person originally had given me $30 and said, I don't want tickets, I just want to support. And I said, nah, man, let me get you some tickets for this money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this person was I truly want to support. And they got the jersey, which is cool. We try to give as many prizes as we could. I think we gave out 10 different prizes, hoodies, shirts,
scarves,
and of course the jerseys. So that happened. And that also happened during a really cool tailgate.
Yeah.
That see, this is what I really, really enjoy about the Roots. Not only the Roots, the Cal State East Bay. Is that they're allowing us to make this culture of tailgating that wasn't allowed at Laney.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, now that we can have these tailgates, we're able to have events like the one for that day.
Yeah, that was cool. We had an event with Forever Oakland with the 66 Mob,
mm-hmm.
where they were collecting clothes and different things for the unhoused.
Yeah, yeah. Personal hygiene stuff.
Personal hygiene, yeah.
They brought the DJ stuff this time. And that's what I like, man. It's like, so at the moment, the people who are organizing these tailgates, it's either the Hooligans, Los Roots, and now added it's Forever Oakland. And shout out to Alfonso. Great guy, man. Him and it's Mike. Mike? I want to say it's Mike.
Yeah.
And if not, geez, please forgive me. I will have it correct the next time. But those two guys, they run Forever Oakland. They communicate very well. They have the same vision that we do, which is to create this tailgate culture, to bring Oakland folks into a space where we can be ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think at some point this could have gotten twisted, and I feel like us fans, especially coming from the Raider tailgates, we already know what we're looking for, especially for a tailgate. Like, we just already have that culture in us. And then if we were to go to a space where we're not able to be ourselves, and by that I mean barbecue and have music.
Which was
blasting.
Crazy when we first started showing up to tailgate at Laney, and they were like looking down on it, like tailgating allowed. And we're like,
right.
What the fuck?
And I think it took enough people with the same vision to push it forward too.
Yeah. I mean, we still kept showing up.
That's right. Yeah. And although to some folks it this culture didn't seem right because we were too loud, maybe a little bit annoying, or you know, a little too much, you know. But that's exactly what Oakland is. And I am now really grateful that these tailgates are happening the way that they are, which is everybody brings in a little bit to contribute for the tailgate. We organize to have a bar, free drinks, free food. We encourage people to come by. I know that there's a lot of people who drive by and see it and wish they could be a part of it. If you're listening and you haven't shown up, please come by. We go home with a lot of food sometimes.
So, yeah.
And we can only hope that you guys, you know, make a round over here, come talk to us. All kinds of free stuff, stickers, and all kinds of stuff, like always, you know. But I'm grateful that this community is starting to grow a little bit more. And this last game was definitely a show of that, where although there wasn't a big attendance in fans at the game, mm-hmm. the tailgate still seemed pretty full.
Tailgate was fun. There was a lot of people. There was one dude there that kind of stood out because he was in, like, cowboy boots and shorts. But, you know, he was there having some food and everything with his people. Yeah. And then when we got in
a
the
mullet?
Game.
Did he have a mullet?
Yeah, he had like a mullet. So he stood out, you know. And when we got in the game, it turned out he was the performer. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, shit, that's cool.
Man. Shout out to him. Yeah. He actually sampled the chant that Beto created, which is the new hit of our chants. It sounds really good. If you guys haven't heard it, I think it's going to be a tradition to start doing that one at the entrance.
Yeah,
it seems to get a lot of reaction and the most people involved. But he sampled that part of the song. And it's funny because I was setting up my coffee booth way before the game even starts, way before they allow people in and all that. And so he was doing a mic check, and I heard that part. And I was like, wow, that really sounds like our song.
What?
But I, in no way did I connect it at all. I, you know, it's so simple to say O-A-K, right? Yeah. It's just a common thing. And until he came up to us and was like, hey, I sampled this from your video. And I was like, oh, man, what? Now I know what video he's talking about.
Really?
What was it? It was a home opener.
Okay. And oh, so after the when the game was over that we kept going?
No. There was a video, and I think I shared it with you on Instagram, and the people who recorded it were the musicians who performed halftime that day. Do you know who they were?
Oh, was it the video from Dope Era?
Dope Era. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Dope Era Magazine?
Yeah.
So they posted a video.
Yeah, because they were really close.
Yeah. And that was the first time I had ever heard that chant from a different perspective, and it sounded really good. And so, and the thing is that he's also connected to Dope Era Magazine.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure it has to be that video because he said it. I sampled it from a video I saw, and there's not too many videos. And that one, not that it went viral, but it was the most probably watched video from, they have a good following.
Well, it was really clear.
Really clear, yeah. So I think that group, that member, do you know the name of the artist that played?
I don't remember his name, bro. I can look it up.
But it's a few people. No, it's fine. It was a few guys, right, that sang that day or rapped. But they have a good following. And so when they posted that video, I'm sure that's where he picked it up from. And, you know, what I'm trying to get at is that it's really cool that he created a song and used, you know, the supporter group's chant in it. So, yeah, I also, I wasn't surprised when I saw him up there because I had seen him before, but I can see how you guys were surprised that he was kicking it with everybody talking with everybody.
Yeah, that was really
And then
cool.
All of a sudden he was the performer.
Yeah.
Not at halftime. What was
that? No, I think it was before the game started, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. But do you remember what the halftime show was that day? Did we even have a halftime show? And why?
I don't remember.
Was it the turf? The turf dancers, maybe?
Oh yeah,
because I know they
it
were
was
doing
that same
a thing.
Day. Yeah,
yeah. Shout out to Johnny Five, good friend of mine. He leads the whole Turf Inc.
Oh, nice.
Over there. And actually, I had ran into him a couple games ago, and I was like, "Dude, you got to get involved." You know, I won't get too much into it, but he was gonna start messing with Town FC.
What?
And they were pulling him that
way.
Yeah, dude, which is crazy. And I guess I will get into it.
Oh, he made the right choice.
Well, this is what happened. It's funny to me how a lot of people, which is understandable, but it's funny to me how some people aren't aware of behind the scenes drama that happens, you know, and this whole thing with Town FC and San Jose Earthquakes and John Fisher and just how it's all connected. But I remember I saw one of their promo videos and Johnny was playing soccer in one of the videos. And so I was like, damn, I wonder if Johnny even knows what's going on, first of all, behind the scenes. And second, I wonder if he even knows that his face is being used as promotional purposes. And so funny enough, I was closing down the coffee booth at the game, and he walks up, and I was like, "What's up, dude?" And he was like, "Oh man, like we hadn't seen each other in some time," and so then we started talking about this. He had no idea that this was happening, or at least the drama behind it. But this guy is a true Oakland guy, so me being a true Oakland guy, I had to share what was going on.
Yeah.
I wouldn't lead him the wrong way, so I just wanted him. I didn't tell him what to do, but I just pointed out what the facts were, and instantly he was like, "Oh yeah, bro, nah, like I only fuck with the town, you know what I mean? So if this is not the town,
yeah,
then not." Which is funny because he had already conversations with the ownership of that team, and when he first started talking to them, that's when they were marketing Oakland.
Yeah, yeah, as the town.
As
yeah,
the
yeah,
town. Yeah. And then he was like, "Yeah, bro, I guess I didn't get it, because these last times that I've talked to them, they're like, yeah, the town, like the town of Moraga, the town of, you know, this, that." And he was like, this is exactly what he said. He's like, "There's only one town, bro."
Exactly.
And we all know that, right? So for him, that's when things started to kind of like feel a little bit off.
Yeah.
And so when I explained, you know, how things are happening, he was like, "I totally get it now." So he was like, "Okay, so then now I'm going to invest my time and my talents into this, right?"
Yeah.
Who do I talk to? Connected him to whoever he needed to be connected with. He moved his pieces as well, and right away he was a halftime performer. I don't know. But anyway, shout out to those guys. So we've had the tailgates, which have been popping.
Yeah,
guys, fun. Please show up, man. It's such a good time. We always say this, man. If only we had more time to tailgate.
Yeah,
it sometimes feels like it just goes
time
by so
flies
quick
when you're tailgating. Yeah,
there's just so much to do, so many people to talk to,
yeah,
so many conversations that happen, and also building and tearing down takes time.
Yeah,
you
that
know
part.
So, but I will say that we are getting more organized every time. I love that we are leaving together from the tailgate area, kind of marching in, doing our thing. I like that we're meeting up by the little grass area to start the march towards the inside where the vendors are at. And I also like that we're creating that circle where we are giving them just a little hint.
Yeah, yeah, one chant before we head down.
That's right. So it's been a lot of fun, man. I also noticed more people waving flags, more people wanting to be a part of that process. So if you guys want to bring kids and have them drum,
yeah,
or if they want to pick up a flag and wave it, please come down to us. Or if you guys just want to get some free stickers and stuff, please come down to the drummers specifically and ask, you know, if we've got stickers and stuff, and you guys will definitely get some swag, you know. We also have merch for Los Roots that we sell during the games. So
at the tailgates,
we try to represent our Latino culture within the designs there. So if you guys want to represent that side too, hey, come by. We are Los Roots. All of our merch is designed and dedicated to the Latino community. But I have seen many people who are not Latinos, and they still support, man. They love the culture.
Everybody's rocking it.
Yeah.
I mean, the designs are badass, so.
Yeah, they're pretty cool, man. I understand when a team needs to stay true to their brand, but that's what I like about being an entrepreneur and just like a side thing, that I get to just create whatever the heck I want, and I don't have to be true to any brand.
Yeah.
You know, I can just create, and, you know, people enjoy it. So that's been cool too. What else have we been doing? What do we have coming up? At least for us as Los Roots supporter groups, we of course have these two away games.
Tuesday we'll be back at home.
Oh, that's
playing
true.
Against El Farolito, and Los Roots will be there. Come through, guys. It's the third round of the U.S. Open Cup.
That's right. And Farolito is putting out posts on trying to get more of their people.
Yeah, they're
involved.
Trying to get more of their people to come through. So we need we need to roll.
We got to represent, you know. And I do want to say that last time they were here, they made some noise. They had their little
it wasn't too many of them.
We also don't get too many. I mean, now we're getting Monterey coming in, and they're starting to make some noise, you know.
This last tailgate, they
probably the biggest.
They tailgated out there with us.
Do you think that's the biggest or the most supporters from the away team we've had?
This last game that Monterey showed up,
yeah.
Yeah, that was the most that I've seen, I believe.
Here, right?
Because we've had San Diego came through last season, remember?
Very few.
But it was maybe five of them or something like that.
Sacramento doesn't travel well.
Sacramento, I want to say they came last year too, but it was also just a couple of them.
I remember one time that they were, I don't want to.
Well, back when we were in Laney, right?
Back when we were in Laney.
So I remember the flags and shit.
Exactly, that little corner over there. Yeah. I wish I knew them because I wish I could have gone over there to talk to them.
Yeah.
I also do want to say is that I'm really proud of our people here because it's so easy to be hostile against away supporters.
Yeah.
Which is a tradition, you know? It's like, well, we don't get along. We're from different teams and stuff. But I'm really proud of the feedback that we got back from, you know, the people from Monterey that in different places, even direct messages, they were very grateful that we invited them in with open arms and we showed them the tailgate culture of what we're doing over here. And we also, in some shape or form, also made sure that they had a good time too. You know?
Yeah, I know. I don't know whether to call it a tradition or not, but, you know, there is that part of football, of soccer throughout the world where you just cannot see.
It's like a gang.
It's funny you say it that way because when I was telling my coworkers about Los Roots SG and shit, they were like, so it sounds like you're in a gang.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, it's not a gang. They're like, so
we wear colors.
We wear colors. You know? And we...
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, at least us in the USL, it hasn't gotten to that level where you see somebody from the other team and you want to fuck them up,
right?
Like the rest of the world. You know?
Well, it's to me, it's been scary in certain instances, right? Like scary. It's like, well, we've got kids, we've got women,
yeah,
you know. But it's scary because you don't know what to expect.
Yeah, but the couple incidents we've had wasn't even against like SGs. It wasn't against supporters. It was against like random drunk fans trying to come up and
that is what's scary, right?
It's
they are proud of their team and they're drinking and they also, it's like, hey, we roll deep to games.
Yeah.
And we make noise and we make sure to like make
especially
noise.
Especially Sacramento, Monterey and even San Diego. We show up to San Diego pretty deep.
Yeah. Vegas?
Yeah.
We showed up deep. I mean, and by deep, I mean, I want to say that the most I've seen travel to our space outside of Monterey this last game, it's about 10 people.
Yeah.
That to me is like deep. And we normally roll deeper than that, right?
Yeah. So, wasn't there one game in SAC where they said we were like, I don't know, like 200 or something,
man,
like that?
We would take over sections. I remember one time San Diego folks were like, oh, you guys took over that little section, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I want to see you take over.
You guys have never taken any sections.
Not
in
at
the
all.
Town,
man.
Or Hayward.
Not at all. You know? So so I can understand where the aggressiveness can build up when nobody likes for an away group of folks to come into your house to be loud as hell, maybe louder than you.
Make more noise than you, yeah.
Maybe pop some smoke bombs.
Yeah,
I don't know. Stuff like that. And kind of like, you know, it feels disrespectful. You know what I mean? So.
But you know what? That's where I understand when in soccer culture, they say away days are the best days because it's like a different level, bro.
It's a different level.
A different energy.
That's right. Yeah. and so I want to say that from what I've seen in our division, in our side of things, we are the most traveled supporter group.
It feels like that, yeah.
Yeah, it feels that way. I don't think I've seen much of the East Coast and how much they travel. And I'm sure there are teams that have been there for a long time. You know, their SG culture travels well and stuff. But at least for us, it feels like we are the number one traveling team. And I hope that's the truth. But anyway, so knowing that we're coming into somebody's space and making all this noise and showing up super deep, it already causes trouble. Like, look at San Diego when we've been down there. They don't like what we do, you know? And they've also made it noticeable that, of course, there are nice people there, but they don't welcome us to certain things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they've been friendly. Well, you know.
Some have.
Yeah.
Some have, some haven't.
But also, as the game goes on and the – alcohol's flowing.
Yeah.
Shit starts happening.
Yeah. And again, going back to it, it's that I'm proud of our people for showing the opposite.
Yeah.
For keeping it between the 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like that should be the way it goes, right?
Yeah.
Me as a Raider fan, I've traveled to a lot of away stadiums, and I've gotten into fights, physical fights after the game. And I'm trying to tell people sometimes, like, hey, dude, let it go. The game's over.
Yeah.
Like, that's where the bickering can happen. That's when we can talk shit and whatever, like, hey, your team, this, that. But once the game's over, man, like, you know, you don't have to physically fucking hurt me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I wouldn't want to make people feel like they can't have a good time. Sure, man, the game's going on, whatever. Everything but physicality is allowed. Like, hey, shit talking, whatever. But once the game's over, man, like, let it go. And Monterey has done that to us, too. We've gone in a good way, right? Like, we've gone to Monterey.
Yeah.
And, like, super fan Dan, right? One of my first ever experiences with him was that he came and he knew that we didn't have drums. So what did he do? He brought his little drum over and did a few chants with us.
Oh, I remember that game.
Were doing the Let's Go Oakland stuff, yeah. And he was beating on his drum.
Beating on the drum for us. Yeah.
To me, that showed, you know, a whole other level of a sports fan. So shout out to Superfan Dan. Right? Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Great guy, man. He also posted about his experience here in Oakland. And them having a good experience can only allow for a great relationship to build both ways. When we go there, or when they come here. And my biggest thing or concern is the safety of our people, especially the women and the children. I would hate to put them in a situation where they're scared for their safety at away games. So if we can create this culture of, you know, hey, man, it's just a game, then more comfortably we're going to take people that way too.
Yeah, you know?
So what else have we kind of gotten into? We're still planning on going to Miami. We've gotten enough money. So, or enough money to kind of put down as a down payment. You know, we're still trying to build.
I mean, we're going to SAC. We're going to Monterey June 22nd. We're going to Miami and Las Vegas. Yeah.
So, okay. So let's look at the immediate picture right now. We've got today, we've got
El Paso,
hoping for a win there because they're not doing very well. Yep. Then we've got
El Farolito on Tuesday. Open Cup.
Okay, and then what else do we have after? There's a game that's... So three games in a really close period, right?
Yes.
So this Saturday, Tuesday, and then Saturday.
Saturday again.
Do you know who we're facing?
Saturday, we're playing Detroit, bro. Detroit in Detroit.
They're not doing well, are they?
Detroit, they're in like second or third place.
Oh, shit. Right. Well, if we can... If it makes sense... Last year we were beating good teams, and we were losing to the bad teams. So
and the last two times we've played has been a 1-1 tie. Before that, that's going all the way back to 2020. They beat us 2-1, but
okay. And then we're back home.
And then we'll be back home to play against San Antonio.
How's San Antonio doing?
San Antonio, they're. Oh, no, that's not back home. That's in San Antonio.
Oh.
Wait, what?
What's going on, Juan?
Oh, I forgot about the switchbacks. We got Colorado.
Oh, that's who we were talking about earlier, that they are not doing
They're in well. Last place.
Yeah.
They haven't won a game at all.
We shall see. We shall see.
But, yeah.
It's a long season.
Games, yeah.
It's a long season. And I'm grateful that it's such a long season, too.
Yeah.
You know, because outside of... However the roots do, we are always looking forward to the beginning of the season because it's such a great time to be around the people who we care for and our friends who we only get to see during the season. So I'm still excited for everything that's to come, all the away games and stuff. I hope we could just match it with some wins.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that goes. So we're slowly running out of time, and I think we just kind of covered what's been going on. Nothing too crazy, besides the losing streak, but, we do plan on having the tailgate, for the next home game. So please come out, guys. We normally show up, I want to say, an average of 2 p.m.-ish, right? Yeah. Sometimes we're there earlier, depending on what kind of tailgate we're planning on having. But for the most part, even if we're there a bit earlier, the food and stuff tends to be ready around 2:30, yeah. 3 yeah. maybe. So if you guys can, man, show up, check it out. And if you guys are already part of it, man, thanks for making this space super special. I look forward to it just as much as I used to look forward to Raider tailgates. So I'm grateful for the people who are who have the same vision and are creating this environment where, I mean, even my dad, dude, like yeah. my dad goes and has a great time. And even if I don't go to a game, my dad's like, well, I'm going.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. and I like that. I like that people get to go and be themselves during games. So anyways, Juan, you got anything else to add, man?
Nah, just hope we get this dub tonight.
Yeah, huh? We'll check in whenever we can, and we'll see. Can I have a prediction from you?
I think we win 1-0 tonight. Goal by Johnny.
Yeah, huh? I wanted to say 2-1, but I don't
you know,
think
that's been my go-to all season for some reason. 2-1, 2-1.
Oh, yeah?
But
we can't score
2. 1-0, yeah.
Have we scored 2 this season?
Yeah, the home opener, 2-1.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
You know, the only thing, I think the game tonight, both teams have allowed a goal in every game they've played. So
okay.
It might be a 2-1 game.
So there's hope.
Yeah.
All right. My prediction, I'm going to say, do you want me to be real or do you want me to?
Nah, be real. This okay. is the real podcast.
All right. All right. All right. All right. Because then, you know, I don't like when everybody's like, they give predictions, but it's always for the team. And it's
yeah,
like, well,
be real as long as we're winning.
Don't. Then that's not being real. geez. Okay. I'm going to give you 2. my optimistic side is going to give me a tie.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my optimistic side.
Another one?
My real one, I'm going to say, not. Bro, I don't know what they're playing with, but it's just, I don't know, man. I feel like, and now not having Hackshaw, right, and this other player that also got, what's his name again? The one that got suspended? I'm just bad with
their names. Yeah, because I hate mispronouncing names, but because his name is like N-J-I-E Najee or something
yeah,
like that.
Let's say Najee.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
I might be wrong.
I'm pretty sure we're wrong. We're missing pieces right now, yeah. you know.
But the Tamakas is back. Johnny's up front.
Okay.
I just saw the lineup.
Okay.
So.
All right. So here we go. Here we go. Optimistic. We're going to win. No. Let me change this shit.
What are you doing, bro?
Let me slap myself, okay? All right. Optimistic. We're going to win 2-1.
2-1.
That's it. I'm locking it in. Pessimistic and being real and how we've been playing, I'm going to say that a tie is my pessimistic side. And I think it's a very real thing that can happen. We just haven't been all there yet. But I do hope that, you know, if we could just get 1 or 2 good games, that can shoot us off somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So let's hope for a win and that just kind of catapults us to more
gets us in the right direction.
Right. And that way we can finally leave this conversation about Coach Noah behind, because we're not the only ones talking about it.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody's talking about it right now. So shout out to everybody who's listening. Shout out to everybody who is part of the tailgates and makes them happen. Shout out to our Los Roots family, man. These guys, they do not ask for anything in return, and yet they spend their money, their time, their effort, man. It's sometimes it feels like a job being there, because it's like, oh man, the people are going to show up. Let's start, you know, getting this done. And as much as fun as it is, I mean, you've got Lupita and Ceci on the bar, and they're nonstop making drinks.
Yeah, this last game, Martin on the grill.
You,
nonstop.
Martin, and Steve were on the grill nonstop. hot as hell,
yeah.
Cooking for everybody. And then everybody who organizes everything else, you know, shout out to Forever Oakland. Those guys, they're starting to put in, they are a big piece now to this whole group because they're contributing so much. And not only asking, where can I help, but also taking lead and charge in a lot of what we're doing.
Yeah.
They've got their own ideas, which I appreciate. And they're not only here to follow, they're also here to put in their stamp. Right. And really, really like that about them. So shout out to the Hooligans. Steve, we send you a huge hug, man. We feel for you, buddy. We love you. We can't wait to see you. Keep your head up, my guy. And we'll celebrate soon. OK, we'll have a little celebratory drink for you know what I mean. OK. Anything else, Juan?
Oh, that's it.
I think that's it, huh?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, that'll do it for today. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Go Roots!
Vamos!